Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Well, my knee didn't swell up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so that means this is way better.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried.
I wasn't. I never was. I just took it so easy on the way back because I knew that if I didn't, I would have reason to be worried.
I got
to
comment on your growth as an adult, as a human being, that we were all equal on sprints on that ride.
Uh-huh.
We all had won three, even though technically was the one I won really a sprint.
Mine was a cheap one because I knew it was around the corner from the stop sign.
Yeah,
that was
so.
Really...
So then we all had one.
Yeah.
And then we had that one on that downhill stretch coming back into town. And I was like, here it is. And Jax is going to blow his knee out because he's going to be like, fuck it, I got to go.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, no, I'm an adult.
Did you think
now.
About it just for a second?
I was right on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I was, which made me really happy that it was able to.
On his?
Yeah. Which was made me happy that I could at least do that.
Uh-huh.
You know? But then when you went, I was like, no reason.
I was trying to take a page out of Sean Kelly's book where he said, if you have to lead out a sprint, you just go faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until people hopefully spin out by the time you get to the line.
Yeah.
But Paul sprinted around me like I was going backwards.
That's because I got like a 55, 11 in the back.
You 55.
It's a 53. I do have a 55 of my TT.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to own one of those just to show it to people.
55?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then take it off and use it for a dinner plate.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's nothing else. I'd be like, oh, it just hurts to look at it. Oh, I should probably start that.
Oh, yeah.
I decided for the theme music, we're going, not for the theme music, but for the commercial music, we're going to do this. Because it's kind of a summer feel, right? Did we go with that?
Yeah.
All right.
So before we begin, it's time to officially kick off summer. You guys, as you know, we here at the Packville are only endorse products and services we truly believe in. We use them, we enjoy their services, and so on. And so with this in mind, let's make this the grand announcement. I want to let everybody know that starting today, the Packfiller's Gooder Summer has begun. We have been given a specific amount of discount codes just for you, our friends at the Packfiller, for 15% off your purchase. If you take into account that Gooders are already the most affordable quality eyewear out there, that makes it even better of a deal. Use the code PACKFILLER15. I'm announcing it there, PACKFILLER15, to get your discount on the non-slip polarized stylish shades, both on and off the bike. Make sure to use it wisely, though, because I think it's just one per email
order.
Account. So you basically create like 300 emails. I'm not giving you a way to cheat. But order multiple pair or something like that. And then you get 15% off that purchase and you're good to go. So there you go. So the Packfiller's Gooder Summer starts today. I would fade out the audio, but I am too lazy. And now let's start the show. Was this music good or was it cheesy?
It worked.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
You guys going to get sick of it for like 3 months?
Well, if you ran like... If you did two more, like, sponsors reads, I'd probably reach over the table and turn it off. But yeah, it was just
yeah. Well, that's just because for the summer we're going to start with just Pack Fillers Gooder Summer. So
I like it.
And my name, I came up with the Pack Fillers Gooder Summer, like good summer, but it's gooder. Fuck. Well, we're a man down, but that just means the sound of two less beers opening in the background. Not to mention Jack's brilliant insight into the world of cycling. So welcome to Life on Two Wheels. Welcome to the Pack Filler Cycling Podcast, live from the Rim Break Bar nestled in the Arrive Studios without the fridge I personally carried out on my back by myself. I am an idiot. Did I wait for my son and wife to come home? No, I carried it out by myself. And if you know what the entrance to this area looks like, you know that that was even more stupid because there's a stone wall about knee high that I had to actually get it over. And this is an old... Anyway, I'm Pat Bulger. So let's check in with the gang, shall we? Guys, when I introduce you, please, please, please respond with what you feel is a proper hamburger. Toppings. Maybe bun, things like that. I don't come up with these. They're sent to me, I promise. First in here, he's very likely one of the last true card-carrying Sepp Van Marke fan club members, Mr. Paul Main.
That was good. You see, burger, it has to be premium burger. I don't like slop. I like...
Like lean, super lean.
No, I want grade-wise. I want choice, prime.
Okay.
I mean, even if it's just meat, I want quality.
Wagyu or Wagyu beef, whatever the fuck that is. That's like bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Okay. But, and then you have to have, like, I love Tillamook cheddar cheese. If you're from the Pacific Northwest, that's the best cheddar cheese around.
Sharp.
I like sharp, but on my burgers, I like medium.
Okay.
Yeah. A nice, fresh, garden ripe tomato.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And romaine lettuce.
I didn't realize where this question was going to go.
And it has to be a German mustard.
German mustard. Oh, mm-hmm. Not like the stone ground, kind of like
not good... Not stone ground. There's a kind of it's spicy, close to... it's close to a Dijon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No ketchup.
No. Okay. That's it.
What kind of bun? Did we say bun?
I would like Pletzel a quality bun. I would like, actually, a Kaiser roll.
Oh.
Use a Kaiser roll.
Fuck, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. I'm hungry.
I know.
Second, he's very likely the happiest bike racing fan outside of the Sagan Entourage today, Mr. Jackson Bulger. We're going to get to it. Yeah. Nice shirt, by
thanks.
The way.
It was planned.
I'm going to zoom in on that shirt for everybody.
Just rub my
chest.
How come he's got a gin blossom nose?
I don't know. That was the... It's a caricature.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he drinks a lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Peter's the big drinker. Yeah.
Or maybe they did the drawing after his first or second COVID positive. I don't know.
He does, really. And it's kind of a gray beard on that thing. Well, it's thread and spoke, right?
Yeah. This is kind of an old shirt.
Yeah.
I have to keep I have to keep the overshirt on because this shirt is worn so many times the pit stains are pretty bad.
Oh. Did I get you the other one though, where his curly hair is the world champion?
Yeah, that's
stripes?
A really cool one too.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm threatened.
That one was still dirty
too.
So he got that one.
Well, the other one also has pit stains.
Does it? Oh,
yeah, wow. It does. My favorite.
Yeah, they are. I have to get more. Burger. I like beef, ground beef, usually. Like,
sure.
I'm not picky about my beef.
We did turkey burgers for a while in this house.
Not the same.
I think I fucked
wrong.
It. Yeah,
not the same.
Bad. Yeah, yeah.
And then for on top, I like just a regular cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
It probably would be a Tillamook, I'm guessing. And then for on top of that, I am a plain Jane type of guy. I would just put my choice would be just pickles and ketchup and regular mustard, but if you're gonna add more, I'll take a lettuce and tomato, romaine lettuce. If you're putting spinach on there, get the hell lettuce. Out.
Yeah. It's not a spinach shit.
No. but that's to my extent. I will say there's a place in town called Delish.
They do really
that
good
is
burgers.
The best.
Yeah,
like that. That's the peak for me. And yeah,
They have like a special sauce too. It's not just ketchup and mustard. It's like a Thousand Island dressing or something like that.
With like relish in it or something like that.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's just honestly like ketchup and mayo or something like that, you know?
But there's something about those restaurant burgers where they press the patty on a grill. Not a grill, the
like a griddle.
Griddle top. It's so good, and it's so horrible for you, but it's delicious.
Yeah. Doesn't matter when you're eating a burger.
Oh, yeah. Me, I'm very likely the guy who just misses Bernardino tackling protesters who try to charge the podium. I'm Pat Bulger, and that's a reference for those of you who are kind of old.
Yeah, he did it because he was a representative in the tour.
He was the tour guy who would just be like, no, get off the podium. Perfect burger, sharp cheddar. We all agree with that. And I'm going with romaine lettuce. The other night we made burgers and I bought green leaf lettuce and I made a mistake. I made a gigantic mistake and my wife called me out on it. I need to have, I'm not a huge tomato fan, but I will put tomatoes on a burger. Red onion.
Oh, see, I should have put it red onions also.
Red onion, fresh, not grilled. Mm-hmm. I gotta have red onion. Pickle and a tiny squirt of mustard and maybe ketchup. I'd actually put a little dribble on there. I think I would.
You know, what kind of mustard?
Just a little dribble.
Not French's.
Dijon. Jackson likes yellow mustard. French's. He likes yellow mustard. Yeah.
Sometimes
I know.
Sometimes I find that a sometimes I find that like a Dijon or like a spicy mustard can kind of just be like, oh, I bite into it and that's spicy. All you get. Which there are people don't like it.
I do. I can't eat yellow mustard. I know. I like hot dogs. Won't put yellow mustard on it.
See, I'm the same with Dijon like. I'm the same with onions
on a hot dog.
Well, I can't eat onions.
You don't?
You don't like onions? Not really.
Really?
No, I don't know why.
Actually, onions took me a long time to get used to. Also, in life, I was not a kid who ate them. And I still have I won't eat a cherry tomato. When you bite into it and it bursts into your mouth, disgusting.
That's like candy.
Yeah. Fucking gross.
I could eat it until I'm squirting them out my ass. I tell you, I love them.
No, they're disgusting. I hate it. So they're so bad.
Have you ever had the yellow ones? Mm-hmm. They're sweeter.
I don't think I have any vomit.
Well, that's good.
I got to get one. That's so gross. So gross. Hey, we want to take a moment to throw a quick congratulations to Jack. He's not here with us tonight because he finished a gigantic job. And if you know Jack, he's got like three of them going at once. And one of them is he's flipping houses and he's now on vacation. And hopefully he will find a bike upon his return. So, Jack, I bashed you in the intro. And I know you're going to live tweet us this, text us this when you're listening to the show. So, well done, man. Enjoy the time. Get a fucking bike. Gentlemen, how's the riding going? How is your cycling life proceeding? Silence was deafening.
It's going well. Yeah. I mean, we went out on what? Sunday? Sunday. Yeah, right? Yeah. Sunday. Sunday was good. I had a bit of returning knee pain, which was annoying, but I kept
that in the intro. Yeah. And then we were live when we were saying about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of mitigated it a little bit, kept tabs on it. Cause this is something that has happened before and I know that I just don't need to push harder when I start to feel it, but I have a cream that works well, really well on it. And then, I just rest, ice, compress, elevate, and then do my little cream, and then I'm all good.
Share how you got the knee problem.
I got the knee problem way back when I rode a bike that was too small at the Midnight Century. That's when it started. And then after that, it's just
you visited Sam.
Yeah, visited Sam. So my current.
There you go.
Nice. My current bike is fitted to
AmbassadorCycling.com.
But it rears its head every once in a while. But I know how to deal with it now. It's happened so many times, so it's not really that big a deal.
It's so weird.
I'm trying to get you to talk about the evil side of our sport, how it happened.
When I crashed. Yeah, I think that's what.
Not on the road.
In my mountain on the mountain bike race. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Last week.
Oh. Yeah.
Did I tell the story last week?
No,
I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
Yeah. No, because we did the show before it happened. Yeah, we did on Wednesday. I heard about it on the ride.
That's true. I forgot that it was
Stupid
Wednesday.
Sport.
Yeah, but we raced on Wednesday. I guess you could call it raced. I rode a mile and a half of this race before we went from a double track section, Big Fire Road, back into a single track section, so single file. And then I was going in straight into it, you know, wasn't really taking any risks. And then I hear, on your right, there was no right.
Fuck.
There was no right at all. And so I was like, I had no choice. There was a log and I just went right into it. And I did kind of tear my new Arrive socks, which was annoying.
Oh, yeah. Like you got three right? pair.
Yeah, good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, but it was after I was on the ground, I was like, you know, that feeling when you crash, when you're a little dazed, you're like, I don't really know where I am right now.
Yeah.
I was in that position and I was like, the bike had separated from me just like maybe a couple inches away from in front of me. And the guy who had crashed me like had gotten off his bike and said, that was my bad. That was my bad.
I hate, first of all, when people, well, crash you. But second of all, say my bad. I fucking hate those two words together. And anyway, sorry.
No, you're good. And so he like he was holding
I'm
it up.
Getting flustered.
He was holding it up and he goes, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on, man. That was my fault. Like, let's go. Get up, get up, get up. And I'm like, I'm trying
clear my conscience. Clear my conscience.
Yeah.
It made me feel better.
Yeah, like I'm trying to just like recover from what just happened. And I'm like, no, man, like, you're good, you're good. And I was like really trying to be nice about it. I was like, hey, like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Like, just go. Like, it's all good. And I got my preschool teacher voice, and I was like, no, like, you're okay, buddy. And I know.
You act this tall, I'm going to treat you like
that. Yeah. And so, like, I'm comforting him at this point, and he's like, no, let's go. And then after a while, I was like, he was holding my bike up at this point, and I went, I just stood back, like, I sat up, looked him right in the eye, and I went, set the bike down and go away. And he set the bike down and rode off. And I was like, I knew that we had have this ride coming up this weekend that I want to do well in. And so I was like, there's no point. I'm going to just turn around. There's too much dangerous stuff going on. So I did not finish that race.
And your brain just shuts off after a certain moment. You're just like, okay, I'm not in the race mode anymore. Yeah. I don't fuck it.
Yeah. And so I was like, my head wasn't in it. I didn't want to race anymore. So I just ended it there. And so I think it could have re-aggravated this injury a little bit. But like I said, I know how to deal with it. It's fine. When we go this weekend, I know the things to bring. So,
yeah.
Like, if all else fails, I'll just wrap it really tight.
Ibuprofen.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
his future wife is a nurse.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the way you say cream. It's just that cream. You say cream. It's the way you say it. It's just like.
It's a CBD cream that I put over my knee, and it, like, it's crazy. It, like, immediately, makes me all better.
Yeah.
Like right away.
Total chill.
Everything's fine, bro. Yeah.
Wait, that's THC.
I'll be damned. I had a student call me bro like four times today. And I was just like, no.
Drug testing.
Right absolutely not. But anyway.
P test. Here we go. That's too many bros. Give me. Here we go.
Too many bros.
Yeah. P test.
You're not going to pass.
No.
Paul, how's your ride week?
So I rode Tuesday by myself before the show, and I probably mentioned that last show. And
you did, and I hated you for it.
And then, let's see here. I rode Saturday by myself because, it looked like shite weather, and I just said the hell with it, rolled out. And I told you the story. I was going up Thorpe Road. If you're not from Spokane, there's two train overpasses that are now part of the Centennial Trail or Fish Lake Trail. But it was all gray, and there's kind of a hillside and everything. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to get rained on. I started dry, just punched through it. And I get through the second one, and it's just like blue skies and big fluffy clouds. I'm like, what the hell? Where did it all go? And I had a great ride. Yeah. And then I rode with you two guys, and we did. What, 40?
No, 50, I got 56. Miles.
I got 61.
Jackson got 61.
I got 39.
Yeah, well, you never remember to start your computer.
Oh, yeah. That.
Every time I look at Strava, it's like, you rode with Jackson Bulger and kind of pull me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's because the guy didn't start his computer on time. But, so that's good week. Mm-hmm. Three. I mean, that's not, I still have that demon going.
you three isn't enough. You have to ride at least 5 days a week, you know, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm still dealing with that, but I only got two. Wednesday night, it was not a good Wednesday night race for the Bulgers last night.
It was not.
Let's clarify, it wasn't a road race.
No, it was a mountain bike.
Yeah, there's your problem.
I started, I was doing two laps because I need to get they give you a one or two lap option. And it's an interesting paradigm with this one or two lap option because everybody thinks, oh, well, one lap is easier. No, because the one lap guys go fucking fast. It's like a, you know, it's like a crit versus a, you know, a, not a road race, but mm-hmm. you know, it's a different feel to it. And, I started doing the one lappers. Now I'm like, okay, I gotta get some miles in, even though it's not much, but I decided to switch to two lappers. And, I got about 2/3 of the way through my first lap and I came to a climb and I, you know, thumb shifters on your mountain bike. I reach uh-huh. over and I push real hard on the thumb shifter and it goes dink and it goes, my thumb shifter just went flying off the handlebars. I went, oh, that's not good. You know? And so I got into the gear I wanted to, but then my shifter was dangling off the front of the fork. So I grabbed it, kind of wrapped it around my bars and I went, okay, I'm in my, because I'm on a 2x in front yeah. on a mountain bike, which is, Paul, you're just old. Like, I can see you waxing over. But I was like, okay, I could technically ride this whole thing in my big ring in the front and just use the whole entire cog set in the back. Because there are big climbs, but they're everything you can just kind of power up, maybe 1 to 2 minutes, kind of an effort. But the problem is every time I hit a rock garden, which is really bouncy, my chain bounced off onto the smaller ring and it took me I had to reach down and kind of, you know, coerce it back onto the big ring in order to keep going. So in other words, I at halfway, not even halfway, about a quarter of the way into my second lap, I was like, this is fucking stupid. This isn't working. Just call it a night and go home. So I did that. And then, I rode with you guys on Sunday and I ruined the chance at a Strava KOM for you guys.
I don't even remember where that was.
It was an overpass.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds like, I mean, people are thinking at home going, overpass? What do you guys live in?
Oh,
North Dakota?
Oh, I know yeah. what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It was an overpass. I-90. Yeah. And we were flying and I let out the proverbial, when I got dropped and you guys slowed up. And then I looked on Strava later and was like, oh, I got the 6th fastest time and I got dropped and I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just been quiet, but it just came out of me. It was just like, I was like, oh God, did I say that loud? And you guys were like, oh, slow down for Pat. And I was like, fuck.
I remember that moment though. I was doing, I think 700 watts at that point.
We were fucking hard.
And my mouth was like, fully open, so it was not easy at that point.
It's really good to know. Mm-hmm. It's seriously good to know that you guys.
But we wanted to do intensity. That's the thing. Yeah. So we were doing it right. Yeah. We weren't trying to yeah. dick swing it.
Yeah.
You know, we were just trying to make each other hurt.
And I do want to say this, you know, and Paul, you're going to be happy to hear this, but do I want to bash? No, it's not a bash. I really loved that road ride on Sunday. I've been spending so much time in the mountain bike world, and I'm not going to bash mountain biking. I fucking love mountain biking.
I do that.
Yeah. So. But I just, it was so nice to go for a ride and not, because, you know, and I know that you, everybody listening at home is going to think to themselves, well, you dumb shit, buy a different mountain bike with a little suspension in it. That's true. But if I had the money, I don't know if I'd buy a mountain bike with suspension in it because I don't ride it necessarily. It's not my singular form of riding. So I'm not going to spend my money on it because I've got a really good mountain bike and I love it. But anyway, I that ride this weekend was just like, oh my God, it's so nice to get off the mm-hmm. dirt and to be able to do something. And I know that gravel's popular and I know that mountain biking is huge. But God damn, it felt good to get out on the road and just not have to worry about, well, you got potholes, you got plenty of things to worry about. But so speaking of which, I'm planning my trip to the west side, you guys. I had a long talk with my wife and she's like, oh, I can drive and meet you for dinner and then meet you at the destination. Sure, I'm in. You know, I don't give a shit. You know, she's working the day.
Are you taking the RV?
Well, I think we're going to. I think we're going to. So I'm going to bike pack it. I'm going to leave 2 days before her. And my current route that I've planned out Ride with GPS. Yeah. Mm. Is 450 miles. It is 30% unpaved.
Oh, not God. That much.
but you know what? I'm sliding. I was thinking about just taking my road bike and doing that, but now I'm like, 30% unpaved. Ride with GPS is a cool app. Mm-hmm. Because you can pick your destination where you want to go, and it will pick a cycling friendly route for you. For example, there are times where I'm paralleling the interstate, the highway, but it'll take me on roads one side or the other, and some of them are gravel. And so I was just like, oh God, that's actually kind of cool. And I think I've still got some tweaking to do. 450 is a little long considering it's like a 375 mile route.
Where's your destination?
Yeah. West side of the state, Bellingham, basically. Okay. So yeah. And so it's 30% unpaved, 26,000 feet of climbing.
That's a lot.
For 450 miles, 450 miles. For those of you who don't know the state of Washington, we have a very large mountain pass that I have to go through in one way, shape, or form. Either Snoqualmie or
Stevens
or whatever it is. White. So I've got, White, or I've got some serious thing like that. So I'm still trying to figure out how long to plan for each day, what kind of mileage I want to do. But the goal is the second or third day to meet my wife. It's going to be my birthday, and we're going to meet, we're going to have dinner, we're going to do that kind of stuff. And that'll be one of the nights I stay in a hotel, kind of a thing like that. And then I take another day to get to the final destination. I know some people are thinking, wow, 450 miles, do it in 3 days. I'm like, fuck you. I don't want to do that much. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, like anywhere just around or under 100 a day would be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then the week after that, we just kind of chill and stay. We're going to go over there and stay with some family. And my wife would get some work done, and I would just kind of train. And then the week after that is our races, the crits that we were talking about doing in Vancouver, Washington, and Portland, right? Portland?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's the second one.
So I'm trying to figure out a route and how to do it and how to make it all work. I've never done a bikepacking trip. I planned on one night, at least one night going, maybe two nights going to camp and see what it's like to experience that. So we'll see about that. And I know Paul's just like, oh, Jesus, shut up. but it leads me to what I consider a pretty important question. We're in June. We've raced. We've had a taste of racing. And I know that the people at home are thinking about this the same way, because I know how, especially here in the States, how things are. Who has plans to compete, challenge, or even, heaven forbid, race this summer? Here, we've reached it's gone. I mean, racing has stopped again, almost. Am I wrong?
No.
No.
I mean, we had one last weekend, which was kind of a, you know, small one, but we didn't do it.
Independence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Road race.
And I don't see anything on the near horizon. So what do you guys have? How does a racer race when there aren't any races?
You don't.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you don't.
What do you do?
Yeah. Well, I think what's happened too is, you know, road racing, gravel is such a big thing, and Grand Fondos, to put on a race takes so much resources nowadays, unfortunately, that it's hard to promote when, like, this Chafe thing you're going is, they just put up food places and you're on your own.
Open roads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was chatting with this guy, Winston, here in town, that does the TNT, you know, that's how I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I was going to do it, but, I mean, gosh, you could do the Omnium that we did for less money, and there was three races involved, you know, and what it's
but
just
you don't
one day.
Get Kirkland brand trail mix.
and the Costco muffins.
Yeah.
Yeah, big old muffins. You know, so, and not to bash it, I think a lot of people, as long as you're out on bikes and enjoying it, and there is, not everybody likes racing. That's what I like to do, but there's not much, and I understand why. And then I'd like to support, I talked to my wife just recently about going down to Vancouver. That's the weekend she works. We have one car, which means I have to rent a car, which is not that big of a deal, but gas now is $5 something a gallon on top of that. And Vancouver is quite a distance from here for a 35-minute race.
Yeah, the crit for wonder. Our category is 35
minutes. Yeah, I mean, it's a hard sell to my wife. It's like, really, you want to spend like $300, go down to race for $100 a minute? Mm-hmm. You know?
Shit.
Better stay upright. Yeah. You better not crash and ruin your bike, because then it's going to be more expensive.
That'd be $3,500, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 minutes for $100. Yeah. But still, it's like fucking... Yeah.
Oh. I was doing the new math thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, it's tough, but you know, you got to support it. So I don't know. I'm not scratching it off. And then the next day is Portland. There's a race, I guess, in Portland that we could do, but it's hard to justify. What's that? 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then entry fee is like $50 and then $100 in entry fee. And then, you know, gas for us to drive for a 30, well, combine the time, you know.
That's a 6-hour drive.
But okay, so Paul, this is an old man question. I remember doing that.
Yeah, gas regularly. Was a lot cheaper.
Okay.
I didn't have obligation. I had my own car. I was a single guy. You know, I didn't have to, because my wife works, like, you know, my life situation is completely different. So I have to really weigh things out. When you're 23 years old and single and you work part-time, you know, just for the weekend, it's an easy choice. Yeah. I would have done it in a heartbeat. So, and that's a problem right now. We don't have youth in there to actually pump money into that, you know, into road racing. There's not enough youth going to do these races. It's all people like you and I, and we're, well, you know, Father's Day, or it's Mother's Day, or it's, you know, soccer weekend.
Soccer tournament
that's what's killing it off. It's just this old guy's racing, it seems like.
Well,
Tulsa Underpass. Tough looked pretty busy. That was this.
Yeah. I haven't watched them yet. I haven't watched. Oh, I'm gonna watch them starting tonight. Jackson, what do you do? I mean, you're, God, from and please, I'm brain dumping upon you. The high you're probably coming off of, I would imagine. You know, a second and a first off of a weekend of racing, you're getting fully involved in it. I would be just like, let's go. And then this crickets of events occurs.
Yeah. It's, you know, it is, well, like coming off of that RC3 weekend was really cool. And it showed me that like there is like the cool community and everything. And then getting the opportunity to like do well was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think, just taking what I can get right now, you know. I'm not keen to go out and, you know, race a grand tour. You know what I mean? But
what?
I know, right? Yeah. But I think that for me, you know, training rides are really good. Like training races that we've been doing, kind of in town are really nice. Just at, like, I treat everything like competition. So honestly, I get that competition every single time that we go out for a ride. So I kind of am able to, for lack of a better phrase, wet my palate that way. But it is disappointing that, you know, there's nothing on the line in town. But I also, I mean, it's tough because you got to travel nowadays. Mm-hmm. And travel is way more expensive than, unfortunately, it was back in your your heyday, you know. And that's not like a you guys are old type of thing. It's just like,
oh,
it's,
yeah,
like,
I am.
But but it's just disappointing, you know, because like the fact that all of these races cost so much and then the travel on top of it, it's like I don't understand what the sport's expecting if they're going to charge so much
and then put them in very like select specific places. I mean, I think that's tough on it altogether.
Do you blame that on the sport, or do you blame that on the fact that there are not enough places to who feel an obligation to put on a race?
A little bit of both. I mean, why was Spokane such a big racing time or racing place when I wasn't as into it, but now it just is gone? You know, it's just because all that money, like we've talked about, you need all those officials at a road race event. The fact that we want to put on, like, that somebody wants to put on a Tuesday night race, a fun race, but there needs to be a bunch of different officials there, that's frustrating. And the fact that we can show up Wednesday night and race every single year and there needs to be a timer
and signs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And they can do it with by just doing all that. That's really frustrating because it's a really fun part of the sport that is just kind of getting squashed because of the money.
We have an inherent flaw in our system.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a road back. I don't. Really? I wish there was an answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it. We're litigious. It was pretty, you knew the risk when I signed up as a Cat 4 in 1986, the risk of doing Volunteer Park,
mm-hmm.
that I could crash, be paralyzed. I'm taking that chance.
Yeah.
But now it's like you have these release forms that go on. The insurance that you have to pay, that's why it costs so much to put on a race, because it's covering the insurance costs, you know, yada, yada, yada. You have to have so many officials, so many people sign each for a road race. You got to have people that are actually are schooled how to flag down traffic.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to the people behind Oregon, OBRA. Mm-hmm. I think they have a different model. And it seems to work over there. If you're listening to this and you're schooled and you know about, I think I did a show a while back about that, about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they have kind of an agreement situation with USA Cycling that, you know, the riders aren't going to get penalized for participating in their events. But it's a different format. It's a different it's a different style, and it doesn't require, I'm sure it does require, you know, especially in a road race, you know, the lead car, follow car kind of a thing like that, but maybe not as many of the restrictions as, mm-hmm. as USAC does. And so, and I know there are a lot of people out there who tell me not to bash USAC. I get comments on it because they're the governing body, but you know what? Fuck you. There's this mentality that how many people are yelling at our current government right now? You know, you can question authority, mm-hmm. and you can say this is a flawed fucking system and we need to find ways around this. But I agree with you, Paul. We might be past the point where we can fix it, because we have so many, you know, prior cases where somebody's been sued and lost their asses because mm-hmm. of something. So, you know, either that, or we're all going to spend our future in business parks or off road, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that's where we're staring down. Well, so, and it scares me.
I think what's also frustrating is the fact that, like, when I raced in Portland, there was a guy at a table handing out numbers and going, oh, put it on this side. And then somebody going, okay, this is how the course works, go.
But like, that was an enclosed course. Like I'm saying, this business park kind of a mentality.
But what I'm saying is the fact that they can do that easily, and then you go any other place outside of any other state, and the fact that you have to figure out all this stuff, like, it's frustrating. Sorry, I'm getting into it a little, because like the fact that ODZ had to bend over backwards and some dickhead standing in like an entryway going, oh, I pissed off that I gotta race with these young guys. It's mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
take what you can get.
Fuck off, man.
Yeah,
you know, here's your entry feedback. Go home.
Yeah.
I've always been that way about people who complain about races. You know, my good friend of mine and I put on a race, the 24-hour race, and he's still getting emails because he's the primary contact from people who were upset about somebody not getting a fucking ribbon for, you know, the slowest or fastest lap. And I'm just like, just fuck off, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, it's you want us to clap you on the back and put you on social media and say, hey, this guy went super fast, good job, buddy. Mm-hmm. Eat shit, man. I'm sorry, but you know what? We're putting on these events.
They got him all fired up.
Yeah, I know. No, we're putting on these events. We're busting our asses to make this shit happen. If you're upset, don't go to your fucking keyboard. Or if you're upset and you go to your keyboard, do it with class. Do it with complimentary
style. Do it directly
style.
To the person.
Yeah. Well, he did not do it directly social. To the person. Oh, okay. But this is, but it's still, okay, this wasn't the person who had done the fastest lap. Mm-hmm. This was a teammate of the person who had done the fastest lap, because the person who did the fastest lap was a junior. And it's like, oh my God. Dude, the person who did the fastest lap was either okay with it or in his room crying in the fetal position. But fuck, it's just like, have you ever thought to go away from a race and just say, hey, that was great, we'll be back next year. Maybe I'll send a friendly email saying, hey, thanks for everything. You know, you guys mentioned you were going to award the fastest lap. Is there a chance you know, blah, 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 blah. Don't bitch. Don't be an asshole. Don't be a dick, because that makes race promoters want to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that makes, you know, the guys at ODZ who are good guys who put on a two race weekend,
mm-hmm.
go, what the fuck should I bother?
Yeah.
Bike racers are assholes.
Well, I have another, it's not a complaint, but I'm curious about, because Ace, who does Tour de Bloom drink.
Yeah. Yep. There it is. Yeah. I met Ace.
Mm-hmm. Good guy. He's helped out on Walla Walla. So within a 30 day period, we had three stage races in the state of Washington, and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they have some kind of like, well, no one shows up for June races or July races, mm-hmm. and that's why we have to cram it in May. I mean, I'm sure they have a legitimate excuse, but yeah, but what do we have to look for, you know?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah. So
fondos and gravel races.
Yeah.
So.
And they're not real for me.
They don't exist.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All right, I got to jump. Before we get to the news, everybody, I got a question and a couple things like that. Number one, if you recall when we were live on Podbean on a regular basis, and I said that we had to stop that due to computer demands, but we've upgraded computers in our system. So let me know personally if there's something like bringing back the live stream on audio alone, allowing you to call in that method, would be something you'd like. We are obviously live on YouTube right now. We're live on Vimeo. We're live on packfiller.com. Let me know if that's something you'd be interested in. And second of all, don't forget to promote your events. Here we are talking about events. I'm opening up a page specifically to people who would like to promote their events. We have a global audience of cyclists who would like to see and hear and maybe even show up at your events. So there we go. Let's get to the news brought to you by our friends at Athletic Brewing. Use the link at packfiller.com. Great variety flavor and less than 0.5% alcohol. Yep, that's right. Try one out today if you haven't already. And be sure and use the code PBULGER20 for a discount on your next purchase. That is PBULGER20 to get you that discount over with our friends at Athletic Brewing. I had to hit the theme twice. I'm drinking my stuff on tap, and I don't think it's ready.
What is it?
Oktoberfest. it's actually an Oktoberfest ale, and it's a little too syrupy for me.
Can
right
I smell
now.
It?
Yeah.
All you hear on the mic is.
It's a little too syrupy. I mean, hey. No?
Yeah, I could see where you're coming from.
Can you hear my Crocs creaking on my chair?
Yeah. You wear like Crocs?
I do.
What's freaking wrong with you?
I have a podium picture in Crocs.
Don't show me your feet. I have to see it. No, no.
They look like Van Gogh's Starry Night.
No, God.
Oh, I like them. story number one. There is no way I could have held this off. I know we're talking long, and we already spent 43 minutes just in the beginning part of the show, but there's no way I can hold this off. I will title it Jackson's Proof That Riding 100 Miles of Gravel in Kansas Apparently Is the Foundation of Youth. Fountain of Youth. After a spring blighted by illness, Peter Sagan claimed his first victory in Total Energy Colors today when he outsprinted Brian Cocard and Alexander Kristoff to win stage 3 of the Tour de Suisse.
Should I just allow a moment
just for Let Jackson to just bask in that? It's
just a stage win,
as Peter Sagan insisted, even though his own half smile and the sight of Total Energy riders queuing up to congratulate him immediately after the finish told his story. He hadn't won a race of any description since he claimed the overall title of the Tour Slovakia in last September. After all, while his last World Tour victory dated all the way back to stage 10 of last year's Tour, Giro d'Italia. So let's start with the obvious. Jackson, how does this make you feel?
It makes me happy to see him back at the top. It does, especially because it had been so long and I could see that it was wearing on him a little bit. And I think he needed this. I think he needed it to kind of get the monkey off his back, you know?
Yeah.
Give it a couple more feet and he's not winning that sprint. Cocard was coming up fast.
He started early.
But he
started
safe super with him, early. Cocard, because he has yet to win a World Tour race.
Cocard has. Mm-hmm.
Really? He's not won one. He's won every.
So you know he wasn't being like, World Tour. Well, yeah. I would give Peter something. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I would be nice.
Yeah, he's trying to get that win. He tried, but he doesn't have.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway.
Total Energies was working for him, you could tell. And I'm happy to see that they put together some sort of lead out, especially because so many years he's been the guy surfing off different wheels.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was really happy to see it happen for him.
He was still dancing that final K, you know, and it was like, I think even the commentators were making that observation that it's almost like the old Peter Sagan. He was bouncing from wheel to wheel. He was aggressive. He was, you could see the energy in him. And I know I'm just like, you know, gushing on, but it was cool to see.
Yeah.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves? We're to speculate on things that are going to happen in this little tiny race in France.
Yeah.
In the next couple of weeks.
I think it's tough. I think he needs to show more, you know, I mean, it's a stage win against, not to be mean, but not the top sprinters in the world.
Sure.
You don't have Wout. You don't have.
There was a good amount of climbing going into this sucker.
Yeah. You don't have all these different top sprinters who are probably going to show up to the tour. But that's what is exciting about Sagan is he could be on Fabio Jakobsen's wheel and then just fly off at the last moment. We don't know what he can do. And this is, interestingly enough, the first time I feel like we don't know what he can do, because I feel like we've always kind of known.
Yeah.
But this year is interesting. New team, new goals. I think they're going to want to probably go for the green jersey. So they'll be focusing probably around him.
Am I saying too much to think that is a delusion?
Why not shoot for it?
Yeah,
I mean, what else is the team? They don't have a GC.
No.
They do stages, and that's part of it, and then try and help him win the green, and he has, obviously, he knows how to do that.
Mm-hmm. And he's an experienced green jersey winner as well, whereas Wout, who can pretty much do everything, he's never done it before. There's a team not necessarily focusing around him.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be an interesting battle, because Wout will have to do a lot on his own.
That was okay. I thought you were talking about Sagan. Sorry, because back in his earlier days, you know, where he made a living out of floating the wheels.
Yeah,
and that works for him. And it almost seems like he prefers
I think he like does.
That, instead of this gigantic lead out train.
Daniel also put some pace on the front, but he won't be on his wheel.
Yeah. Speaking of an upcoming race in France, so let's talk about this one that just finished in France, the Critérium du Dauphiné. Primoz Roglic won the overall title after a remarkable performance from Jumbo-Visma on the final ascent of the Plateau de Solaison. Did I mention this last week? I think I did. I think we talked about it to an extent. Mm-hmm. But Roglic and Vingegaard doing what they did. Ben O'Connor. So this was a race that reminded us of just how powerhouse of a team Jumbo-Visma is. Mm-hmm. With Wout's incredible performances, two stages. Well, let's be honest, almost three stages if he wouldn't have put his hands in the air. Two second places. Insane work on the front. Roglic doing what he does best, and Vingegaard doing, he's right there. I mean, it almost seems like he was just that, you know, that just waiting in the wings to do what he could, mm-hmm. but being obligatory, you know, in terms of what his responsibilities were. And Thijs Benoot, Stefan Kruiswijk, I mean, all fucking firing on all cylinders. So my thoughts immediately, again, look ahead. And I know this isn't a Tour de France preview show, but we all automatically do that once we enter this part of the season. We start thinking about what's going to happen in July. Mm-hmm. And this is arguably the strongest team around, if not one of the strongest teams in recent history. The biggest issues are going to be who rides the Tour and how they can all contribute to the overall victory. Sorry. Your thoughts, again, without turning this into a Tour de France preview show, but you guys, anybody have any thoughts on what's going on and who you would place your money on within the Jumbo-Visma squad? I'm going to get to the other dark shadow looming over the horizon here shortly.
I think that Vingegaard is a very interesting asset that they have. Because when Roglic crashes, I'm not saying if, when he crashes, Vingegaard is right there because he's not going to drop very much. I mean, as we saw last year, he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
But there is that big shadow that is looming over their head that I will save until it comes up.
So you're saying it's inevitable that Roglic can't keep the rubber side down?
I think he'll crash, but I think he's got a good chance of still winning, you know?
Yeah.
Because Roglic is also a really interesting rider that I don't know if I feel safe putting money on. He's like he is that GC leader that I feel that is an incredible rider,
which is unbelievable because if there was no Tadej Pogačar, he would be a history books Grand Tour rider.
Yeah, I mean, his record proves it. I mean, what was it? Daniel Lloyd says 16 stage races that he's finished. He's been in the top, what was it, finished on the podium in 10 of them.
Wow. Shit.
You know, so yeah, he has it, but there's always, like Jackson was saying, I think either he has a crash or has at least one bad day when it goes to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And even in when he's won the Vuelta, he did the same thing. There's always something that kind of gives it a little hiccup. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting when Vingegaard and Roglic came to the line. Vingegaard reaches out, grabs his hand, and Roglic is like, a little tentative. But he's like, going,
don't crash me.
I don't want to go down because I'm waiting for the Tour. I don't need to screw up my knee. You know, so he did seem a little tentative. But, but I agree. I think it's good to have two in the chamber, and everybody says, well, the two-prong attack doesn't work. You know, everybody poo-poos somebody trying something different.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't like what Ineos does that's been tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to break that tradition. So whatever, Jumbo-Visma is doing, I applaud anybody who wants to go outside the.
What point? I'm trying to think over history. You know where we were talking about where a team effort was stronger than a phenom, an individual. we could talk about Voldemort's years. Mm-hmm. He shall not be named. We could talk about those years, but he still was there in a dominating fashion when the chips fell.
Sounds pretty familiar.
Is mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, a couple questions here. Number one, is it possible for a fully, you know, think about the depth of what Jumbo Visma has. You know, they've got, you know, everybody. They've got
Rowan Dennis on the flats, yeah. and
Sepp Kuss. Wout. They've got Wout, Sepp Kuss. Yeah. They've got so many riders. They've got too many riders. They can't pick enough. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to be heartbroken. They're going to be stuck at home, which is unbelievable. You've got this incredible depth, but the bookies are all saying it's a Tadej Pogačar kind of a ride. So there's that, number one. Can a team really do it? Or do you run into the situation where a team management and sponsors say, we would rather have second and third on the podium than we would have a gigantic sacrifice and not get any of those? What I'm saying is the with these grand tours, we always see it. We see these riders who are sitting back. Ben O'Connor said it recently in the Dauphiné. He said, I'm not going to sacrifice a podium position to go crazy and try to win. Mm-hmm. Are we running into that?
I think it's always been that way, though.
But even with a team with the depth of Jumbo-Visma, Would they be more successful with a second and a second on the podium, a green jersey for Wout, and a best young rider for Vingegaard? Would they be happy with that as opposed to a yellow jersey in Paris?
I mean, I think the first question you asked is, can a team do it? I think what's really kind of freaky now is that we have with Sagan somebody who can surf the wheels and still find his way to the front. But that's what I find we have in the mountains with Tadej Pogačar, yeah. Is that, like, I mean, UAE is a strong team, especially now. They made some pretty strong signings. But he has, I mean, as we have seen when he first showed his colors at that Vuelta, he'd never had a team. It was always on Roglic's wheel. And that's what he won his first tour off of. The second tour, I mean, was kind of over after the first week, but he's such a out of this world talent that he's mm-hmm. almost on another level. It feels like it sometimes. Can you remind me of the second question?
The second was sacrificing. I mean, are you okay with a second, a sprinter's jersey, and a best young rider, as opposed to going for it and risking it all or nothing?
Well, I think that's what we saw Vingegaard doing last year a little bit.
Because there was nothing left.
Exactly, yeah. Is he after a while, he would stick with Pogačar, and then, I mean, one point he
dropped him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was kind of an all or nothing type of situation. He just went and was hoping that it would work, and it did for a little, but I think it's so tough because you can attack him and then he's just right back with you. It definitely is a complicated yeah. tour. And I think Jumbo Visma, if they are in the situation like they were last year, not where they crashed out, but where they have hemorrhaged so much time, I think they're going to want to keep their second rather than try to attack him and get 5 minutes or 2 minutes or something like that. Cause in the end, it is going to, as we've been talking about with USA Cycling, it's going to pay more.
Mm hmm. Shit.
I'll be the devil's advocate. I think that's why they have a two-prong attack coming in, because they can sacrifice one of them to, mm-hmm. you know, he can't follow as strong as he is. He's one guy taking on two. One can mark, and they can sacrifice Roglic. I would think that's who they're going to try and promote. Mm-hmm. But Vingegaard, all he has to do is mark, you know, Pogačar. And so that's how I think I would play it. You know, things change on the road all the time, you know, crashes or whatever. But, you know, I think their goal is to win the dang thing.
I mean, second and third is not an option for them.
Yeah,
I really don't think so. And so they'll take the chances. They've got two, you know, two bullets in their gun, and, well, UAE only has one.
Yeah.
A very strong, high caliber.
Dirty Harry kind of a gun.
44 mag. But, you know, still, you've got to figure out how to thwart his, you know, he can't keep chasing each. If they start countering off of each other, or Rokolich is kind of, he waits the last minute, and he really, if you watch his strong attacks, it's at the last climb, and he just goes all out. And, you know, that's that's where he gets his time. And so I think that's how they're going to play it.
But in order to do that, you have to make sure that all your guys are up there overall in time, and they're all close, and they're all within striking distance. Because Pogacar is going to look and go, yeah, I got 7 minutes on you. There's no way I'm going to I'm gonna chase that
that's
shit down.
That's what's so tough, is he has that time trialing ability that he can shoot off on one climb. It doesn't. It can be a long climb, and he just gains and maintains.
I mean, you got to prevent that. You've got you got to have the horses like Rowan Dennis and and Wout to, when they get down on the backside, just turn it on and shut them down. He's one man doing, trying to get two guys that are world class time trialers. So.
Okay, we're running late. So I have one question I was going to get farther in depth for before we get to the topic, but I'm going to ask it right out. I'm going to be blunt. Quinn Simmons, yay or nay? He's riding incredibly well in Tour de Suisse. Yay or nay? Are you guys fans, or are you still a little bitter?
I mean, yay with a shade of I know what he did.
Okay. Paul?
Yeah, I hope he turned... I saw his stupidity, but, you know, he is an American. I'd like to think that everybody gets a second chance.
Yeah.
But if he opens up his mouth again.
Dumbass mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's killing
me. It has nothing to do with bike racing. Who cares about politics? Yeah. Just keep your mouth shut.
Every time every time he's on the screen, the commentators bring up something about it, and I'm going, you know, and I don't want to get into the extent of the punishment versus the crime, but, you know, at some point I want to go, okay, when are we going to let the dumb kid realize he was being a dumb kid?
What, and, was he and maybe 20, 19 years old when he made that comment?
Yeah, but, you know, he made a pretty shitty comment. He made a pretty shitty comment.
And this is not me at all, you know, like, forgetting what had happened, but we do often forget what my favorite writer ever did. I mean, he sexualized women.
Yeah.
He grabbed,
grabbed asses on the podium.
That's pretty shitty to do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
As I said before, I'm not
justifying.
Yeah, justifying. Thank you, but
All right, let's get to the topic of tonight's show, which is brought to you by our friends at Scratch Labs. You guys, Scratch bringing out the good stuff for summer. Have you tried the strawberry lime with caffeine? My wife is stealing it from me now.
Really?
She's honestly taking some and putting it in a water bottle in the afternoon because she's got the caffeine in it and she loves it. And so I'm like, shit, now I got to buy more of that. Plus, pineapple is back, everybody.
I ordered some.
And it's permanently back. They're not going to get rid of it. They're
in the big bag?
Hip, hooray. Yeah.
I don't know. Is it big bag?
I ordered a big bag.
Delicious. That'll be the next. Go to get to Scratch Labs. Buy some of the best fueling options out there. Trust us. So Paul brought tonight's topic up, and this one's really interesting. Drive to Survive, a documentary feature series about Formula One. First of all, who's seen it? Has anybody seen that one? You have
all three series.
No, I have not. Yeah. I have not. So this is where it's going to be interesting. You're going to have to help us out. Regardless of our viewing habits, that series took viewers behind the scenes of Formula One and apparently has contributed to more than doubling of its viewing audiences in the four seasons that it has aired. So cycling, as many of you know, is next. The makers of the show, Box to Box Films, also the team behind this, they've got this planned cycling series. There's no guarantee of similar success. However, the promise of expanding the sport to new audiences in the sounds of a medium to extremely large cash register opening up here has piqued the interest of the Tour de France organizer. Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like crazy. USAC. Yeah. they allow talks to proceed. So the current plan involves eight World Tour teams filming set to center around this summer's Tour de France and the series to air in May of 2023. Eight teams currently involved in the project are Jumbo Visma, EF Education, Easy Post, Quickstep Alpecin, Groupama FDJ, Ineos Grenadiers, AG Désert Citroën, and Alpecin Fenix and Movistar.
I'm surprised UAE didn't join with such a star.
Yeah, notice there's something missing.
Yeah.
They
Why no. do we think, first of all, that was the reason why they would decide to pull out?
You know, I would say, well, UAE is United Arab Emirates.
Yeah.
I don't know if that had something to do with their key person. You know, they deal with civil rights. They don't, maybe they're worried
don't
about
get me started on sports watching, you know, when we're talking about golf.
And so,
like
now, do they want, you know, to reveal who they might be throwing some shade on, on the main sponsor? You know, maybe that's it. I'm not going to, you know, point towards, I think some people think, well, they must be hiding something because they came from nowhere. They must be doing drugs. I can't say that, but I think it's more on the main sponsor's one that says no.
What do you guys see as the potential of a series like this for the sport? Let's just talk positives right now. Where do you, you know, do we foresee it doing anything as well as what it has done for Formula One? Why or why not?
I don't know. Because I thought the whole Lance documentary, I thought that would be interesting, especially coming right off of the Michael Jordan thing. I thought people would be like, oh, 30 for 30 is really putting it together. They might might do something well here. And then the Lance one kind of like flopped a little bit. Which I guess kind of what we wanted. I don't. Yeah, it's tough because so many people think that cycling is such a boring sport.
Yeah,
that's what worries me a little bit. Mind you, Formula One racing and like auto racing kind of has that same feel of like not a lot changes in a lot of time.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for it because I think they can tell the inside story of the sport, which I think, I correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like they would have done with that Formula One part where you get to know the people
more.
Yeah, and that makes an interesting documentary.
The drama and the character.
Yes, and I think if there's like some sort of drama or internal like team turmoil, I think that could be really exciting. But if not, I think it could not do that well. It just depends on the content that they're able to get.
Well, I watched Drive to Survive and all four seasons, and I followed F1 like since the 90s. And even as much, I'm not a hardcore F1 fan, but the thing is just getting that, it really opened my eyes what's way more, you know, intense about even from the beginning of the season when they start figuring out their cars and testing out their cars and the drivers and who's, you know, what driver's going where and that type of thing. And in the middle, well, anyway, I could go on forever, but it gets down to the nitty gritty. You don't realize what's happening. If somebody clues into once a year, watches the Tour de France or maybe Paris-Roubaix, they're just like, you know, everybody rides as hard as they can and the fastest guy, like a running race, wins the race.
Yeah.
There is so much involved. Now you have a mechanical device to help, you know, a human powered mechanical device. And so that's going to be, I think they could play on that, the equipment. They could probably, you know, cause that's part of Drive to Survive is their equipment too. They kind of focus on that. The people that I thought, I just don't like that guy. And then you see him and I'm thinking, no, I really don't like that guy. Or he's cooler than I thought he was. I mean, so I think that's going to open up. I hope it does improve. I think it's going to open up a lot of people's eyes to it, I think. And if it does have the success that Drive Survive has, then boy, maybe we won't be talking in 2 years about having a race here in Spokane.
That'd be cool.
Is this a sport? Is cycling a sport that the masses can get behind? Now I'm also talking about a Europe versus a U.S. mentality. We know that the sport has the potential on a European audience. Mm-hmm. It was born and bred in the culture a lot more. Not globally though, mind you. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, mainly sections of Europe. Here in the United States, we talk about Formula One. We have a tie-in with NASCAR, with car racing, with those types of racing. We have an obsession in this country with car racing. And Formula One is a genre of that sport. So obviously there's going to be some attraction to it. I'm curious about the average American consumer or North American consumer that's going to watch something like this and are going to be immediately involved. Lycra versus the driving suit, you know, the costumes we all wear and then what we choose to wear, the devices in which we compete upon. I know we have the characters. I know that cycling has the characters. With that, and that's what something like these documentaries expose people to, is we get to know that there are good guys and there are bad guys. There are people you're rooting for, people you're rooting against. And that's what we talk about on this show all the time. But is it, are we ready for it? Is the world ready for it? Or will they, if ready for it or not, will they get it? Will they accept it? I want them to.
Yeah. Well, I have two thoughts about it. The first one is that I've become more involved in a European sport rather than like the American sport side of it. Sure. As I've mentioned, soccer before, mm-hmm. then to cycling. I found that at least sport watchers' attention span is much longer for the European games rather than for the American ones. That sounds like a generalization, but that's just kind of is how it is. Football, you get to find stuff out really quick. Baseball, every once in a while, you get a hit, you know, in a while.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's about, 25 seconds, right? Somebody's shooting, making a point. So
I watch golf fanatics in this country. And let's be honest, golf is, in my opinion, more boring than cycling.
Yeah, but they're
but people are incensed with the characters.
Yeah, and it's that hitting constant. Like you get something constantly going, and cycling takes a while. You have to be able to have that attention span to be able to sit with it. But then also, I think that cycling is a sport that is you need to experience it to be able to watch it,
because
you need to know what they feel and how they go through it. So that's one thought. And another thought that does worry me a little bit is there is a strong anger towards cyclists, specifically in this country. And I'm not trying to bring it as like, once again, like a big, like, let's get mad about something.
Yeah.
But every time I see something with bike lanes and stuff, people are mad about it. And so I think the relationship in America needs improving at least. And so I hope that stigma is not carried when going into a series like this. Or maybe it can make it better. You know, those are my main thoughts when going into it, skeptically at least. But I'm just really excited to watch it personally.
Yeah.
I think you hit it on the characters. I think that's what this is going to probably really focus on. Mm-hmm. You know, what makes in Europe so, especially in Belgium, because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
So, wow. You know, when you start as a junior in your small little town, you have like a local bar will have a support club and they raise money for you to race. That's and cool. That is like your bar, you know, and you know, even when you grow up, your name is on that bar. So that's the type of thing to have a character to associate and follow is certainly going to encourage it. Now, when it comes to exposure, if you can get people locked into that, the understanding in the show, how much work it takes involved to get to that level and how much food they have to do and how much discipline it takes. I think people are going to appreciate cycling a little bit more. And it makes me reflect back when we had the Olympic trials in Washington Trust Classic, you know, when I would go out training, people were like, use the sidewalk, you know, get off the fucking road, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But as soon as the media pumped in, hey, we're having the largest, you know, pro-am race or the Olympic trial.
Yeah.
Everybody's like honking, waving.
Yeah.
I'm the same guy you try to run off the road. Yeah. Now it creates some legitimacy to our sport.
Yeah.
So
do you guys think it should focus on the tour? we could all agree when we're talking with family members who might not understand what we're watching throughout the month of July or May or August, that stage racing is in many cases hard to grasp for, and I'm not downplaying this, you know, the average viewer. A classic season would potentially be a much more straightforward presentation of the sport. Are they making a mistake here?
I don't think so, because every time you mention you're a cyclist, at least this is what I've gotten. People go, oh, like Tour de France stuff?
Yeah.
Immediately, yeah. That's what people say. Yeah. I think that visually, a classic season would not be as pleasing because there is weather, most likely poorer weather involved with this classic season rather than a tour. It's going to be a beautiful, you know, sunny
pageantry of France.
So I think that's going to help. And also this could help explain like stage racing. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I know we don't like to talk about him, but Lance in this country made the tour a big deal and made it a household name now.
He did.
So as much as I hate to say it, you know.
Yeah. And I think I agree with that. I think, to start with the tour, my mom knows about the Tour de France, doesn't know anything about anything else. Mm-hmm. If you start doing the series there and expand it to the classics, you slowly introduce that, then you can kind of broaden, you know, the people's attention. Like, oh, there's more than just the Tour de France.
Start with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's what you can do. That's the pinnacle. Everybody in the world, that's the number one watched and the most highest financed bike races, the Tour de France, and so and then gradually say, hey, you think that's cool, you know,
check out this
year we have cobblestones, you know, they could introduce the cobblestone stage and say this is what happened, because they've already been filming, they can film Paris-Roubaix last year or this year and show footage, and they're like, what the fuck is this? I mean, you know, this happens also, so
preferably bring up the coverage of Theo de Roy talking about pissing your pants.
Yeah, piss your pants.
Like it's the most like beautiful an animal. Paul, you mentioned this, and this is a great thing. And as us, we as cyclists, you know, everybody listening to this right now, this is our baby. It's like being cool with a band before they got signed.
Yeah.
Are we ready for cycling to become the next big thing, where everybody's talking about all these riders and they're mispronouncing their names and they think they're cool because they're saying it? And are we ready for road cycling primarily to be the next fucking triathlon?
Hell yeah. If we get something out of this.
Really?
Yeah. If we get racing out of this, like you mentioned at the beginning of this, then oh my God.
A lot of people are going to show up. A lot of people are going to show up and they're going to be dressed improperly and they're not going to look cool.
I agree.
And by the way, everybody who says just let them fucking ride, fine. Just let them fucking ride. I understand. But if their socks are up to their knees, I'm going to fucking judge them. I won't say it to their faces, but I'm going to judge them.
See, and the thing is, I will go home and I will talk about it as much as I would like. But they can do the same with me, you know?
Yeah.
But if I get to race against them, then that's what I...
And if they're super fucking strong,
Then I'll take that. Or if somebody's like, wow, like it's so cool what you do, I'll take it. Not that I need the attention, but you know, I kind of do.
Yeah.
So it.
Oh yeah, we're all talking into microphones.
Yeah. All over the place. Yeah. But yeah, if it's gonna get big off of this, of course I'll take that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the downside of it getting bigger is just like using that analogy of of a indie band. You want everybody to say these guys are so good.
Yeah.
I knew when. But the thing is money gets involved in order for it. Then it alters the way the racing's done, how people are, you know, and that's what's going to spoil what we like about it that no one understands because it doesn't make sense. Yeah. But if you start getting, you know, like to me, Premier League is just like, it's sometimes out of control, just the money that is spent and it's like, you know,
well,
the egos and everything.
I miss cross-country mountain bike racing the way it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and that sport changed because it got popular because people needed an enclosed course.
You had to make a TV.
And it had to be, So, I mean, we this could fuck us over.
Yeah, it could.
Also, another question, could this be damaging? What if a doping story comes out? in this year's Tour de France.
Shit, that'd be crazy.
No. What would happen? You know, will all cyclists be categorized as specific stereotype because people can only relate to this example? What if the stereotype that people are all sitting at home thinking comes out in this documentary? Mm-hmm. We find out Tadej Pogačar, you know, is blood doping. You know, I'm not saying not saying that. Don't accuse me of that. I know you're going to take that soundbite out of context, but no. What if that something like that were to come out? What would I mean? This could be another kick in the ass for the sport. Is that pessimistic?
Yeah, I guess I don't take it as like a kick in the ass. I guess I take it as more of, well, thank God we know, but also like I think bringing it to light is, I know it's gonna sound weird, but I think it's a good thing because then if you show, oh, so and so is a cheater, then everybody's going to be like, yeah, let's get all on the
that's
bag.
The bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have a villain.
Yeah.
And first of all, every series needs a villain. So we're going to find a villain throughout this, no matter what. But also, then I think that's a good thing because all of the world has gone, no, we hate cheaters. Yeah. Let's get on this cheater.
Okay.
So I guess I like to turn it around and think about it like that.
You're far more optimistic.
Well, my optimism is based on, who wants to be, now that you're under the world's microscope right now with this series, do you want to be the one that frickin' puts a stain on something that's potentially going to grow and increase it as a writer, the potential of making more money the more this sport grows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe that helps kind of police the bad decision.
That's
hopefully
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say it works. Let's say it's brilliant. Let's fantasize for a second. 1:19 into the show. I'm just double checking time here. Could this be done for other forms of cycling, other stories within the cycling world? What other documentaries would you like to see made? For example, Keeping Up with the Kings. I would love to see Ted and Laura King a fucking documentary about their lives. They're having kids. They're racing. They're both doing all this kind of stuff. Tyler, the vegan cyclist, his Impossible Route series. If you haven't been watching them, did I name it correctly?
Yeah, oh yeah.
If you haven't been watching them, these are fucking great video segments. See, they're 30-minute, 40-minute stuff.
Almost over an hour, too.
Some are over an hour. They're absolutely brilliantly done. I think he could do bigger things if he got the money. A full series on team directors. I think a Jonathan Vodder's series would be interesting alone. And finally, I think the USA Crit series, not just the Legion people, because I think the Legion people could create a fucking soap opera. I think they like that. I think especially the brothers love to create that drama, and I think they'd be brilliant for TV. They might piss me off a little bit more, but I'd also like to see the people behind the scenes who are putting on those USA Crit series and what the struggles they have to deal with. Does anybody have any other things that you would, in a perfect world, if all of a sudden we were creating cycling docu-series?
I think since it's such a European sport, for Americans to see what growing up in Belgium or Italy with a dream of, you know, where it's in the lifeblood, you know, or even France, you know, to some parts that, like in Germany, you look at Belgium, it's like that is their sport, their national sport by far.
They bleed.
They live and everything, cyclocross, it never ends, you know, every single day of the year, compared to somebody who in Germany, where they started getting a growth with Ulrich and then all the mishaps with drugs and everything. Mm-hmm. And they literally did not, I think ADR carried the right to show Tour de France, and they didn't even show it for 1 year. Couldn't get it in Germany. They just stripped. And a lot of races disappeared, and it's starting to grow again because of Bora Hansgrohe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, you could use those different angles, and I think it'd be interesting for us to see what it's like for somebody in a small country like Germany who's fighting what we would fight through, but they can travel to a train to a race in Belgium, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a contrast to somebody in Belgium who, by the time they age two, they're already doing laps in the neighborhood, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I think Ian Boswell could do with a documentary. Because especially being an American, he could relate to other Americans as well. He did the European scene. He crashed hard in the European scene, but seeing that turmoil and then to come back from that and then to rise to the top step of like domestic racing again mm-hmm. is a really, I think, a really interesting story. Not to say like, oh, thank God he crashed, we could have drama in his life.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's his life is a really interesting path that took him to last year, the top of Unbound.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. There are people out there. I mentioned, Vegan Cyclist. I'm not going to lie. When I first saw his name, you showed it to me, Jackson. I was like, oh fuck. You know, another vegan who's going to tell you how vegan he is. He's dropped a lot of that. And yeah, I wonder if he actually in part is like, God, I wish I could drop this name and just be about me.
I think he said that.
Yeah, really? Because yeah. he's doing stuff that doesn't have to do with his diet.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. doing fucking great cycling videos. I think the GCN folks are doing unbelievable yep. stuff.
Yeah.
And there are characters that are reoccurring in the GCN universe, you
yeah.
know, it's almost like a Marvel universe mm-hmm. that they're doing really cool stuff, and I love watching that stuff. My wife looks at me now; she's at night, and she's saying, "You know what? I'm tired. I want to watch with you one of your bike riding videos." You know, she says it that way, but then she's like, she wants to watch some of these challenges and these, you know, this beautiful scenery and the stuff about the sport that, you know, that might not necessarily be a race footage.
Sure, but it's inspirational.
Yeah, I yeah. have not. I have to admit, I have not watched the Movistar documentary. Paul, you obviously.
I watched the first season.
Yeah,
and I started the second. But
Trainwreck.
No, I mean, yeah,
Trainwreck from within.
From then, yeah,
yeah.
That's just, you know, you can. It becomes obvious. It's good because I'm hardcore road cyclist.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm hoping this series is about. We get some inside. Mm-hmm. You know,
I think it'd be yeah. If they get access, if they get the ability to talk to these riders, if they get in the team cars when this stuff is going on, and a team director's flipping out because he's pissed off and you know,
they
something
will.
Like that, you know, or sticky mm-hmm. bottles or relegations or disqualifications or, you know, heaven forbid, you know, a doping scare. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if an audience is ready to deal with that, but I think the sport, if they handle it well and they get bam. You know, if they find somebody, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they handle it well, maybe that can help our sport in the long run.
You know, another documentary I thought would be really interesting.
What?
This year's women's Paris-Roubaix, but from the Trek side of it.
Mm-hmm. Shit, yeah.
How they lost so many riders and still won.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That was that would be a fascinating story to hear about.
I would also love backstories behind women in the women's tour who are barely making ends meet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Let's finish something short and sweet. I'm going to ask you a really quick question, guys. You have to answer it quickly. What one thing do you want for cycling that you're either saving up for or at least dreaming of? I will give you time to think. For me, example, I was thinking of a new mountain bike. I was thinking of all this kind of stuff. Now, that's not a cheap purchase. I was thinking of like a mountain bike off Pro's Closet or something like that. But nowadays, I want a second set of rim brake wheels for my Giant before they aren't made anymore. They don't have to be full-on race wheels, but I want a second set just to have a second set because I've got a good set of carbon race wheels that came with it, and I want one more. That's my boom. I want it. Anybody? Go.
I think I want a new gravel bike.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was watching, as we were mentioning before, Tyler Pierce, the Vegan Cyclist. He did a couple... like BWR, he did BWR and then the Wafer back to back, and he raced them. And in my mind, I was like, God, that would be a lot of fun to race
you
those races.
Come back to it. I thought you were done.
I would like to do a BWR format,
sure,
right now, because I think that if I would have raced it with different equipment, not to be like, oh, I need,
nah.
But you get what I mean. You guys,
and we were both pie-eyed when we walked into that. We were just like, holy shit, I'm going to just pace this.
Yeah, I think if I would have raced it.
We're like, we're fucked.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. And I think if I would have raced it with different equipment, I think that would have been a different day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would have had a different outlook on it all. But that's, I think, what I want.
Okay. Paul?
Yeah, I think my wish list would be backing up with rim brake stuff and frames. So I know those parts are becoming farther and farther apart. I mean, harder to find. It's an unfortunate thing with the bike industry that we are disposable, yet we're supposed to be, you know, environmental type of thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you can't find, and you look at electronic derailleurs, there's nothing, anything mechanical you can't find parts for anymore. They're just going to stop making.
So throw away.
It's like, and that it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, well, back in the day, I mean, somebody had come in with a Raleigh Pro where I worked at, at a bike shop and had Nouveau Records stuff, and it was his bike, and we could get parts for it.
Yeah.
We could get and keep that thing going.
Rolling.
Now it's like, you know, what is that, 11 speed?
Yeah.
You know, mechanical.
Your bike's 4 years old. Yeah. Throw it away.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, even for you with SRAM, that makes it way more difficult, too. There's no
mechanicals.
Yeah.
Well, and even like when we first, the team that I was on, we had a deal with BMC. Mm. Their DI2 stuff is obsolete. And that was 2012. You can buy. And it's like, what are you going to do with all? You got to scrap it all. Well, it's got rim brakes. Got to get rid. I mean, what if it's still good? What if you had it in your closet?
Are you saying stockpile?
I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
I already started buying brake pads.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
But you know, you think about it.
Well, it's like these wheels I was talking about. I want to be able to have another set of wheels because my bike is still fucking flying, and I want to ride it for probably 3-4 more years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really, but you know, I'm going to want something cool by then. But I can. I could ride that bike for at least that much
longer. It's not going to be a hindrance. I mean, hidden cables, you know, integrated cockpit and disc brakes are not going to win you a race.
Yeah. Yeah.
At our level, no.
No.
Yeah. It's just that we don't have an option.
So your answer to that question is just more shit.
Yeah. Just stockpile. So when things go south, I can replace it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There we go. Yeah. So we all have what we would buy. There we go. I'd love to hear what you would buy. Everybody listening to this. So there's another episode. Be sure and drop us a line with your ideas, your races, your things you'd like to hear. Like us, rate us, tell a friend. And we will catch you next time. If you are at the Chafe in Sandpoint, Idaho, not the Idaho that you're reading about in the press these days, because Jesus Christ, Idaho.
Well, there was only one Idaho person and one Washington person out of 31
in that whole thing. Yeah, exactly. There are some good people in Idaho, including my mother-in-law. So there we go. You know, come say hi to us. We're both going to be kitted out, I'm assuming, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So there we go. And we'd love to have you there, Paul, but we understand.
Yeah.
You won't sacrifice for something that only
I'm
going to
go
up.
Ride with Brent Soderberg.
You are. Our good friend of the show, Brent. Yeah. Take a couple pictures. We got to share those.
He always carries a camera.
He does. Takes beautiful photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guy's way better than us. So, there we go. We will, I guess that's it. We'll catch you next week.
Yep.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.